Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Roker Report podcast in association with the Southern Community Soup Kitchen. It's Gav back for the preview pod. We're cramming them in at the minute because there's just so many games of football going on. And of course, Sunderland are lush. And talking about Sunderland is nice at the minute. So, with all that said, joining me today is none other than Chris. Hiya, mate.
All right, mate. It only feels like 2 minutes since we covered our epic win at Sheffield Wednesday. I don't know where the days are going.
Yep, we're at that point in the season, aren't we, where the games are coming thick and fast. You get eased in for the first sort of five or six games, and then after that, it's like three games a week, relentless. And we're cramming them in.
Yeah, well, I wonder if they're cramming them in a bit more because they've got that. They seem to have an extra international break, didn't they? They had one last month, got one this month. I wonder if there's a few more midweek games.
Possibly. It keeps it fun for us, keeps us busy. We've got lots of podcasts to do, articles to write. Yep. Thankfully, we're not getting hammered every week because if we were, I think I'd have a little bit less enthusiasm for it. But yeah, Watford are the next opponent and very much seems to feel like we're treating every game like this. As it's just right, the next game, it doesn't matter who it is, we'll just take them on. Traditionally, this would be a game where I would look at it and think, ooh, Watford are a tough side, but they haven't had a great start of the season. Actually, they're hovering above the relegation zone in 20th. The manager who's in place, I'm surprised he hasn't been sacked yet, because he must be one of the longest serving ever Watford managers at this stage. I think he's been there 3 or 4 months. But yeah, they haven't had a great start of the season. And I didn't realise until I sort of dug into it a little bit prior to recording, our record's actually really good against Watford, both home and away in recent years. We tend to get the upper hand on them. I know the one that always sticks out to me is that game, I think, under Sam Allardyce when we stayed up. And I think Duncan Watmore had a field day down there. But yeah, they're traditionally a difficult opponent because you would expect Watford to be challenging at the top end of the table in the Championship. But just another poorly run Championship club with an owner who's given up and the fans have given up on the owner. And hopefully we're playing them at the right time, just like we seem to have played Chef Wed. Yeah, it could be interesting, this one, couldn't it? Because like I say, I don't want to take them too lightly and I don't want to get carried away. And I don't think we should certainly, have a lack of respect going into this game. But the form we're in, the form they're in, home game, you'd like to think we can win this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot to pick out there that you've gone through there. Because there's... Let's take the Watford side first, because you mentioned their manager and you mentioned... And for anyone who reads the preview, and I know you had a quick look over at Gav and took absolutely nothing from it.
Quick being the operative word. I was in a rush editing that one. I will say though, to your credit, it's because you're a brilliant writer, Chris, and I don't have to scan your work in particular detail. I trust you. You could have wrote something really you should probably write something really nasty about us in the next one and see if I notice.
I'll hide something in there. Well, yeah. I mean, like I've mentioned in there, I mean, you know, everyone knows about the revolving door Watford have got in the manager's office. But it was only, I mean, pretty much exactly a year ago, it was the 17th of September when we played Watford for the first time last season. And it was Rob Edwards. And I remember we did a preview pod. And it sounded like exactly the same situation as what Watford are talking in now. I think then they were actually doing not so bad. I think they were hovering around the playoffs, but even then they were having a big whinge because they were expecting to Ron Paul
just been relegated probably a little bit more ambitious.
Yeah, they kept a lot of their players as well last season, so they were expected to kind of romp on with 100 points, and it didn't quite happen. And Rob Edwards, he got like 11 games, and this manager has had about, I think he's now on 10 games. And with it being down in 20th, you expect him to be on the cusp of getting the boot, because Chris Wilder had 10 games as well. You talked about longest serving managers. Slaven Bilic, who was their third manager last season, and they had three just in one season. He was in charge for about 25 games, and he managed the club in more games than all but one of the seven managers that came before him. Just to put it in perspective. Absolutely. I mean, how do you run a club like that? Three managers in a season, just every 2 minutes.
It's worked, though, for years for them, but it's not working now. And, yeah. I think they've appointed this guy with maybe that knowledge behind them and thinking, right, we might have to stick by this one. But, I mean, I remember him at West Brom, and he didn't have a great time there either. Yeah. You know, he did well with Barnsley, but, I mean, Barnsley and Watford, the expectations are a little bit different. So, I don't know.
I was looking at this guy and looking at his record, and I still really can't work out why Watford appointed him. I genuinely can't. I mean, he had like a short spell with Besiktas last season, at the end of last season. He only had 2 months there. But like you said, Barnsley, yeah, he did okay there. West Brom, he was a bit of a failure at West Brom. You look at the other clubs, I mean, he seemed to manage second side starting to come through, second sides in Germany, came through that way, and then got some kind of higher profile jobs. But he doesn't seem to have done anything where I think, oh, yeah, right, I can see why Watford have appointed him.
Does a cracking PowerPoint presentation, presumably.
Well, I mean, I'm presuming he's one of the few managers out there who hasn't already managed Watford, and that's the only reason he's got it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Watford fans are sick of people mentioning this, the whole thing around the way that they just hire and fire managers. But it's unavoidable when talking about them not to talk about it, because there isn't another club in England who do it like that. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, they've actually been fairly successful with it in terms of the promotions they've had back to the Premier League. But when you look at them now, even now, they're a bit of a shadow of the former selves. And they've got a decent squad, to be fair. On paper, you look at some of the players they've got, they're all right. They're a canny team. I would certainly expect them to be top 10 this season, which is why they may be a little bit disappointed. I mean, I looked on the comments on their Twitter page after the game at the weekend, which they lost to Middlesbrough 3-2. And it's interesting, Borough coming into form just before we play them, which is nice. But, you know, we'll think about that next week. It's just strange to see a club like this struggling like they are with that squad. I mean, yes, they're not. It's not like they've got loads of household names, but they've signed players with potential, internationals in that squad. They've got a fairly young team, and the smattering of experience that they do have is, you know, decent players. They signed Jamal Lewis from Newcastle, who's a canny player, and I don't know if you saw, but he's been getting it right in the neck from the Borough fans, because he said something about, I don't know his exact wording, but leading into that game, it was something like, they're not going to come to Vicarage Road and gain any good form or anything because they're playing us. It was something pretty cocky, and the local paper took the quote, put it on a meme, which is, if you look on the replies on Watford's tweets, the Borough fans are absolutely having their life over that. So Jamal Lewis is a bit of a laughing stock at the minute. And you know, you look through the rest of the team, though, they've got canny players. That goalkeeper, Batman's a decent player. I mean, I'm just reading through the list here. Livermore, he's a bit past it now, but he former England international, you know. Yasser Espria, I thought he played really well against us last season in that game down there. Deli Bashiru's a good player. Tom Ince, not too bad. You know, I wouldn't assign him for Sunderland. I think we talked about this over the summer, but, he, I think he got 9 or 10 goals last season and was one of the better players in Redden's team. You know, I'm probably picking through here, but Matthias Martins, who is a decent player, he scored a few good goals this season, and I saw the manager's been getting a bit of stick for not starting him against Middlesbrough. They're not like a bunch of clowns. You would expect them to compete. But I always thought with Watford, and I don't know if you had the same feeling, they just seem to sign the most random players from all different corners of the world. And I, again, with the manager thing, it was the same with the squad. I was like, how does it work? Having just you know, pulling players from all over the place and expecting it to mesh. And I guess maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're signing a lesser quality player now, having lost the likes of João Pedro, Ismael Assar, he left in the summer, you know, good players who've left the club and not really been effectively replaced, because, to be honest, it's tough to replace players of that quality, isn't it?
I was just about to say something along those lines, because you look at the players that have left, last season was their best shot at you know, getting back up quickly. They had the players to do it. If you look at the football that was at the start of playing at the start of last season as well, you know, they came out the blocks flying. And I remember watching them in a couple of games beginning of last season thinking Watford are going to, they're going to be the team to beat. And it didn't come off. But some of the players they had, I mean, I remember at the stadium like later on in the season, we had to come back from 2 down in that game. But the signing, you mentioned Tom Ince, and it's that signing for me, that's the signal of how far they've gone in 12 months. And look, I'm not saying he's crap. I'm not saying he's an awful player or anything like that. He's a decent player. But 31-year-old, and he is a proper championship player. He is, like, he's a championship player. And they came down with players who they signed to play in the Premier League. And they kept hold of a lot of them. I was surprised how many they kept hold of last season, which is one of the reasons I thought they'd do so well. But then to go out just at the beginning of their second season in the Championship and sign Tom Ince, it's almost like a statement saying, right, well, we now know we're a Championship team, and it's about trying to prepare to almost compete in the Championship rather than let's get players who can excel and, you know, and kind of improve with us. And I saw that kind of one of the bigger signings with that was, and I might get this butcher this name, but Rajovic, the striker who I think he went off at half time against Borough, but he's on 3 goals a season, and he 24-year-old they brought in from the Swedish side. But I mean, you'd expect more signings like that, you know, that, you know, players that have a younger age, a bit more potential. Spent, it sounds like, you know, it's undisclosed as usual, but you know, the hints that are coming out that they spent a decent wedge on him. You'd expect more signings like that than the Tom Ince's of the world. And it just, that signing just smacked to me of Watford have really stepped down in the world from where they were 12 months ago. But yeah, I mean, it's still going to be a tough game, because like you said, they have still got a handful of those players, although a lot of them did leave in the summer.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at that now. They must have had to drastically slash that wage bill.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'll quickly run through it. You know, João Pedro, Brito Sambalonga, Leandro Bacuna, Craig Cathcart, he's been there a while. Cleverley retired, Tom Cleverley. Dan Goslin left. Jürgen Elitim, Mario Gaspar, Domingos Quina, William Troost-Kong.
Cathcart retired as well, didn't he?
No, he went to a Belgian team called, I'm going to butcher this, Kortrijk. Don't know where that is, but yeah, that's where he went. But yeah, William Troost-Kong, Joseph Hungbo. I mean, again, it just sounds mad. Just all these random names. Don't even know who any of them are. Christian Cabaselli, there's one I've heard of. Ismail Assar, Ignacio Pusetto, and Maduka Okoye. I mean, that's a lot of players who've left, though. And interestingly, a few of them went to Udinese. They seem to just trade players between them and Udinese, don't they? Because they have the same owners in place, and loans out as well. Quite a lot of loans out. Let's have a laugh and let's try and pronounce these. Oba Almanza, Ashley Fletcher, I know who he is. João Ferreira.
Who? George. What was that last one?
João Ferreira. João Ferreira.
Ashley who?
George Cabezas Hurtado. Shaq Ford. Quado Bar. There's a name I recognise. I think he played for Rochdale against us in League One. Samuel Kalou. I mean, there's a lot of players left there, though. I probably just rattled off about 15 names there of players have left. That just, without even knowing who half of those players are, that just tells me they've looked at the wage bill and went, we've had to slash this drastically because we're losing money hand over fist. And that's the case with a lot of teams in the Championship. You've got to cut your cloth accordingly, and maybe, you know, having not been able to return immediately back to the Premier League like they might have expected to have done at the start of the season, maybe this is a bit of a damage limitation, and it's them saying, well, I don't know what's going on with the owners there, but they might have to buckle in, because we saw this with their West Brom, didn't we? West Brom, similar sort of thing, got relegated with a big wage bill, had to slash the squad, and then have kind of struggled to get back out, and now they're really, you know, they're really in the muck because they're having to take loans out just to cover the losses, and it's not good for a lot of these clubs. I mean, you know, these medium-sized clubs who get into the Premier League and spend big just to get there and be there, and then when they drop out, inevitably they end up in this situation where they're not able to effectively compete in the Championship. It's a tough league where you've got to be streetwise, and you know, unfortunately for Watford, signing a host of names from abroad who maybe aren't ready to play at this level, it didn't work for them last time out.
Well, it seems to me like they took that massive gamble, didn't they? That they got relegated and they thought, let's hold on to these players and give up 1 year and just try and bounce straight back. And mm-hmm. It didn't come off. And you know, not just that, but they employed a manager, Rob Edwards, at the start of last season, sacked him after 10 games and then watched him take Luton to the Premier League.
Luton are probably the nearest rivals as well, which it's got to sting, that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But do you know what it is, though? What a way to prove them wrong. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get your rivals promoted. He's probably not very well liked at Watford, but there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't come off that, you know, they haven't, I assume it's the same owners, you know, who
were doing the kind of
the link with Udinese and all that sort of stuff years ago. They haven't got the Elton John millions anymore like they did back in the day. It'll be interesting to see what these do now, because they've used Watford as a bit of a toy and had that kind of, you know, agency and agents kind of being involved in the running of it and dealings with players, and it's all been a bit murky and hasn't been, I don't know, there's something, always been something a bit odd about it. But like you said, it bizarrely worked for quite a while, but everyone for a lot of years now have been asking the question when the wheels are going to come off Watford, because everyone's thought it's not sustainable. You can't keep on going like that year after year, sacking managers after 10 games, bringing in a whole host of players based on who their agents are, or, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I think now, you know, looking at their position in the table, yes, they've got a squad who can pull it off. But I mean, I'm you know, kind of 95% sure that this manager's going to get the sack in the next couple of weeks. I mean, I think he probably knows he's on borrowed time, because Rob Edwards got the sack this time last season virtually, and they were a lot higher in the table. So it's just a matter of time, I reckon.
Yeah, well, he's got one win in nine in all competitions. Knocked out of the AFL Cup by Stevenage, drew with Plymouth, lost to Stoke, who've had a pretty naff start, lost at home to Blackburn, drew 3-3 with Coventry, beat Birmingham, which is actually a decent result because Birmingham have had an all right start. But Birmingham had a man sent off in that game quite late on. Since then, they've drew with West Brom, they've got battered off Leeds, and then lost to Borough at the weekend at home. So, yeah, it's an interesting time for Watford. You know, I was reading the Twitter replies, and some of their fans are saying we're in a relegation battle and we need to accept it. And I mean, it's early days, but it's obviously a sign of how tough it's been.
Well, I bet you the thought as well, it's been a complete turnaround, because opening day of the season, they walloped QPR 4-0. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not that much to shout about beating QPR, the mess they're in at the minute, but it was 4-0 on the opening day, and Watford must have thought, happy days, new manager, 4-0 on the opening day. But like I said, since then, that's it. They've only beat Birmingham 2-0 at home, like you said, and they were down to 10 men. Bizarrely though, and again, we were talking about, we had another game against QPR, actually, and they'd only played two home games. And looking at Watford, they've only played three away so far. No other team has only played three away games so far this season for some reason.
Mm.
But there must be a reason for it, just like when we played, who was it, QPR?
QPR, yeah.
They were getting their pitch done at the start of the season, so I wonder if it's something like that, that the fixtures had to be kind of changed around for some bizarre reason. But I mean, away from home, I think you mentioned the games, 3-3 draw against Coventry, who must be kicking themselves, and they got beat off Stoke and got thumped at Leeds. And I was looking, and it seems like they were playing some sort of kind of 4-3-3, and when I looked at the Borough game, he seemed to have changed it to a 3-4-3, and I saw comments from the manager after the Borough game saying he'd actually tried to switch the tactics, And then he realized he got it completely wrong. They went two down after 12 minutes. And he kind of put his hands up, which is another reason, another nail in the coffin, I think, put his hands up and said, I got it all wrong. Because he said he tried to change everything at halftime, and it was 3-2 in the end. So they gave a bit of a fight, but still went down to Boris, another struggling team. So yeah, I mean, three games at home so far this season, they've only picked up a point out of the possible nine. Something you mentioned as well before we started, you were talking about messages from Watford fans saying that about possession, saying they like to just keep hold of the ball. Well, I was looking at possession stats, and I was just looking at the away games, three away games, just to try and give us an idea of, you know, how to what extent they keep the ball. And on average, over the three games, they've got 49% possession. So it doesn't seem like they're just, they're not Southampton. They don't just keep hold of the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they don't come out with 60, 70% of possession. The Stoke game in mid-August, they had 59%. But when they got thumped at Leeds, 3-0, it's probably not surprising that they only had 41%. And against Borough, it was 55. So it doesn't seem like they're a team to just hang on to the ball, get 60, 70% possession. But it's hard to tell what they're going to do because, like I said, when I've looked at their lineups throughout the season, it's been 4-3-3, 3-4-3. So it looks like this manager likes to attack. And based on how we are at home, I'm hoping he does that.
Yeah, that, like you say, it's going to be interesting how they approach it because everybody knows how we play. And given their form and the fact he needs a win, I wouldn't be surprised if they totally change approach and just come and try and do what Cardiff did. If he had any sense, that's what he would do. He would try and sit deep and you know, maybe nick one off a corner or whatever. But I'm just looking here. This is a proper awful stat for us, really. But Watford are winless in 12 away league games.
Oh,
and right. You know what that normally means. They're on a bit of a bad streak away from home. I think, to be honest, though, the difference between them and Cardiff is Cardiff have actually had a canny start and they look quite together. And if you're in a bad run of form, it's difficult to go away to a decent team and just sit in and banks, especially if that's not the way you play normally, and just sit in banks of five and try and defend off the edge of your box. It is tough. But I'm expecting them to come and do that. And we know what Sunderland are going to do. Sunderland are going to play the exact same way we always play. And that's just trying to penetrate and pass it through them and, you know, maybe try and get shots off around the box. We've got to learn from the way we played against Cardiff. That's the important thing. We can't just have possession for possession's sake. You know, you mentioned, you know, Southampton earlier. It was a little bit like that with Cardiff because I remember us podding after the game and you mentioned it. We didn't create enough meaningful chances in that game. And one of the criticisms coming out of our last game was that in the second half against Chef Wed, we didn't do more, that we didn't have enough shots and we didn't score more goals. And, you know, I came to some logical conclusions on why that might be. But it can't be denied that at home it's been tough for us to break teams down occasionally. And, you know, that's what's interesting to me is, are Watford going to come and just sit in? And if they do, have we got enough to break them down?
Yeah, and for, again, anybody who reads the preview, well, this is exactly what I was putting in the preview, that we've talked about Watford so far in this preview. But this is about us. And actually, mm-hmm. I do wonder how much pressure we're starting to feel playing at home. Because so far this season, played 4, won 2, lost 2. It's literally a toss of a coin what Sunderland turn up at home. And compared to kind of how we're walloping teams away from home, I mean, scoring 3 off the bounce in 3 successive away games, I mean, it's night and day, the difference from us at home to how we sometimes struggle to break teams down at home. And, you know, if it was just this season, you know, we'd be thinking, oh, well, we're going to grow into this season. But this is a real continuation of last season. You know, you look across the whole of last season, only 2 sides in the top half of the Championship last season lost more games at home, and only 5 sides in the whole of the Championship won fewer league games at home. I mean, if you put that into perspective, I mean, that's that, you know, we were right down on kind of in terms of the stats at home last season. And we've continued that into this season, you know, in four games. And if you take each game in isolation, everyone's different as well. Because Ipswich, we had all of that domination, but didn't really create that cutting edge, that really kind of that chance where you think, yes, we should have put that away, or, you know, that open, you know, opportunity where we should have really opened the scoring. Rotherham went behind and did well. Southampton was the, you know, Southampton kind of, you know, just leaving gaps and us exploiting it, and Cardiff did a job on us. So they've all been different, but it still stems from the same issues that we had last season. And we saw so many, that Cardiff game wasn't anything new. We'd seen it before. We've seen it so many times last season, but we knew what the problems were. And I just would have liked to seen a little extra dimension to our play this season, where when we came up against that, it was like, right, okay, right, we're having this problem, right, let's try this, you know, get to the byline, cut some balls back, or put some crosses in, or play a keep ball and drag the opposition out 20, 30 yards, so then you can try and play through them. Just something a little bit different. And at the at the minute, we're seeing this, oh, it's okay, just keep doing what we're doing. And yeah, okay, there might be plenty of occasions where that might work. You know, towards the end of this last season, we were reliant on Ahmad pinging one in from, you know, 30 yards. Late in the season, Patrick Roberts. I think that was the late goal against Watford, wasn't it? The Patrick Roberts one where he cut inside,
yes,
and
yes, yeah,
and curled it in the corner. So we were relying on kind of worldies towards the end of last season to get us through and get that opening. So I'd like to see us have a game plan at home for these sides. When it comes to Watford, though, I'm actually thinking we're not going to see a Cardiff-type performance. I'm actually thinking they're going to maybe come out a bit more than Cardiff. I mean, famous last words, now they're going to put two banks of four because he's crapping himself out. He's going to be sacked on Monday. But yeah, I'm hoping they're going to be a bit more open, and that might be make it slightly easier for us, and we don't have to break a side down like we did against Cardiff. But yeah, our home form is the big one. And to have these two games so close together at home, these two games is going to tell us so much about how we're going to approach these home games this season. Because after these two games, you take 6 points, 4 points from these two games quickly, in quick succession. I mean, that cements us right in that top six. And we know then we're in for a season where, you know, it's going to be where we're going to, how high we're going to come. But, you know, we're really going to cement our place in there, and we're going to be one of the favourites for top six. But yeah, these two games are going to tell us a lot about our season and the difference that home form is going to make.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what team he picks, because we've got that game against Middlesbrough early on Saturday, and it's a biggie. And, you know, for Mowbray, it's probably the biggest game of the season, because he used to play for them, he used to manage them, he's a legend there. To him, it's a derby. I don't want to get too far ahead, but he will have one eye on that game. I don't care if he says he hasn't, he will have. And that's probably going to I think it's going to probably factor into his team selection. It's got to. And I think he might have to think about rotating a couple of players, but who that'll be, I've got no idea. To be honest, I've given up trying to guess, because we've done this on every preview recently, and he's surprised us by just not making changes. And he could just do that. I wouldn't be shocked if it was actually Saturday when he tries to rotate it. I just don't know anymore. I'm gonna stop trying to guess, because it's just pointless. I think he will make changes, but who that is, I don't know.
No, I don't think he will. Because if he was going to make changes, the time to do it is away to Sheffield Wednesday. That is the game to make changes in, because Sheffield Wednesday was so crap and they were there for the take. And if you're going to rest a few players, and the other reason he's not going to rest players is, and something that's kind of going to help him in terms of, you know, keeping that same team, is the international break. I think if the international break wasn't there, he might consider bringing a few more players out and rotating them. Let's say we had another midweek game after Borough, or even kind of we had another 6 or 7 days to rest. He might give Job a bit of a rest. He might give Trey Hume a bit of a rest. There's a few in there that he might pull out, but I genuinely don't think so. So I think he'll go for the same team again. I mentioned before the Sheffield Wednesday game that I would have rotated people out. You know, maybe glad he didn't, because we waltzed to a 3-0 win. But yeah, if he keeps the same team at Sheffield Wednesday, he's not going to change it for two home games. I think we might see one change at most. And to be honest, I don't think we'll even see that. I think we'll see the same 11 as what we saw against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, well, if he does, I respect that decision. He's got most of the team selections right this season. We've played well all season. Even in the three games we've lost, we've played well. So I'm not going to complain if he does. How do you see this one going? Because I'm struggling to put my finger on it. The head says we'll win this game because we're much better than they are and we're in good form and we've just had a good win. The heart says, and the heart's a little bit more sensible than the head in this occasion, is that, oh God, it's Sunderland. We always, you know, I just say that stat about Watford not winning in 12 games away from home. And yeah, so actually, I think the heart and the head are a bit mismatched. Is that the word, isn't it? Mismatched. I think they're mixed up, and I don't know how it's going to go. But yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just, when you were talking there, I was trying to think. And it's the problem is, we're so Jekyll and Hyde at home. It depends on what Sunderland are going to turn up. And, you know, and I'm hoping that because our tails are up after that win against Sheffield Wednesday, it was so convincing. I'm hoping they're going to come back to the stadium like they're going to be focused. They're going to be focused on getting that opening goal, because I think now the players realise how important that is at home for them to kind of try and catch the opposition a bit cold before they get settled in their defensive positions, before they get settled into how they're going to sit in against us. Catch them cold, catch them early, be on the front foot. And that's what we need to do this season at home, more than we did last season. So I'm hoping we're going to get into a rhythm at home. And it was, I think we only, you know, off the top of my head, I think only twice last season did we lose successive home games. I might be wrong with that, but I'll have to check that later. But we didn't do it very often, put it that way. So yeah, I'm going to go for a win. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win. Fairly routine, and I'll take that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you. 2-0 win. Who scores? I don't know. A striker's got to score eventually. We've went all season and we haven't had a single goal from a striker, so I'm back in Burstow to get at least one of them. I think after his performance the other day, you know, we've got to be fair. He played very, very well, and he's due a goal, so why not? Burstow's going to get one or two.
Why not? But if you're talking about earning some coin, I think I'm going to stick a few quid on Ballard again.
he loves heading the ball, so why not? Ballard maybe to get the winner, Burstow to get the first. I'd take that. 2-0 win would be lovely.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up, mate. Thanks again for your time. And we'll be back with a review. Cheers, listeners. We will be back, as I say, with a review. Possibly back with a Friday Night Live as well, I think, this week. So make sure you check out that on Twitter. We've also got a book out, remember. Make sure you pre-order that before it comes out in October. Or we're already in October. Some point this month it'll be out. So make sure you pre-order it. And we'll catch you on the review. See you later.
Where am I going? I don't know. Where am I heading? I ain't certain. All that always I am on my way.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
El mejor podcast del internet.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.